broke his wrist today, so if y'all will keep him lifted up, please. Thank you.
Also for Dalton Cooley, he's kind of in a dangerous situation, and so they've just moved him to Baylor. Anyways, let's just be in prayer tonight for sure. And the work day, Brother Mac, do we know if that's, I mean, do we know what we're doing on that day? Okay. For 2 days? Okay. All right, just making sure. We got our mic in there. There you go, brother. Tell you what. You know what? Just pray for us, Matthew, if you don't mind.
Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, that that you granted us freedom, Lord. You just granted us freedom in all walks of life, Lord. We just thank you that every day you just watch us and you keep us safe, Lord. We just thank you for your angelic host of protection around us as we just go through this life and we work in construction or driving down the road, Lord. We just thank you that you just watch over your children. You're a good father, and we just love that you love us so much, Lord, and we pray that each day can be a closer walk with you as we rise in the morning and we go to sleep at night, Lord. But we just thank you for this house that we can come in here and worship you and just lift up your name, Lord. We just raise this roof with your name on it, Lord. And we just love you. We praise you, Lord. We pray that we can honor you in everything that we do. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Once again, stand to your feet. Lord, we look even for that day now. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, we need healing in this house. Citizens of your kingdom are going through some hard times, Lord. But we know that because we are your citizens, you're making provision each and every day. And these attacks, yes, God, sometimes are necessary. But, Lord, we're looking for a day soon, Lord God, when we see on the horizon a flip. Lord God, they call this a day of liberation. Our president has declared that this is a day of liberation. Let it be so in the spirit, Lord God. You say that what we're seeing on the horizon, Lord God, we can look to the physical realm and know what's happening in the spirit realm. So let it be so that even today is a day of sweet freedom, restoration, a remembrance, Lord God, of our petitions to restore. We bless you, Lord, as we sing your praises to you. The evidence is everywhere that you are on the move and you are on the throne. All throughout my history, faithfulness is walked beside me. Winter storms made way for spring. Every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life.
Of your goodness. stood before my failure. You carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. But what could I say? What could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation. Your Spirit's alive in me. This life to declare your promise. My soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do?
Sing that loud.
All I am is yours. understand. My soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. So what could I say? What could I do?
Song earlier that Jesus is in this room. I love that song. And, you know, we hear that song and we sing it, and I really feel like this crowd probably believes that. I feel like you guys believe, you know, if we just, I mean, I'm not going to do a poll, but if we polled everyone, would we say, you know, we really believe and truly believe that Jesus is in this room? And, like, I take that for granted so many times because, I mean, that's just how, I mean, I've been at this church almost 20 years, and that's just how, like, I've always believed. That's how Todd has always taught us to believe. And, you know, I've told you guys this before, but I came, you know, I didn't become a child of God until I was 16, and I didn't grow up going to church and stuff like that. We were kind of CEOs and, you know, things like that. But, you know, I think when I started going to church, that's just, I just kind of expected Jesus to be there. I just thought that's how it's supposed to be. But, you know, I talked to other people, and I say that, and sometimes people look at me like, you know, like a deer in the headlights, or like, I mean, you truly believe that Jesus is, you know, in the room with you. I'm like, man, I believe Jesus is with me every single place I go. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. Why would we not believe it? But, you know, so I was thinking about that, and I was reading a story the other day, and a pastor was saying that, you know, he said this lady came into his church one day. She didn't ever go to church. She'd never really been to church anywhere in their town, and she walks in. You know, she had worked, I don't know, it was like a hardware store or something in the town, and she walked in. She was dressed kind of inappropriately compared to church dress code, whatever that is, because, I mean, you know, we've got people wearing overalls and people wearing shorts and people that dress up. You know, occasionally someone will come in here in a suit, which they're definitely out of church dress code for here. But you know, we see everything. But she, whatever she was wearing, the church deemed it inappropriate. And they went to the pastor. And this is what I've learned. The more that I've got to be up here and be in leadership, the more like things like that come to you, like things you're like, that's kind of ridiculous. But they came to the pastor and said, you know, pastor, you've got to do something with that lady. She's not dressed appropriate. That's just not good, you know, for the church. And he was just like, oh, this is a terrible position for me to do. So he approached her, and he felt like, I've got the right answer. So he went to her, and, you know, he introduced himself and said, I'm glad you're here. And he said, what did you think of the service? And she said, oh, it was great. I love it. I can't believe I've never been to church. You know, I can't believe that I haven't gone to church my whole life. This is great. And he said, okay, are you going to come back next week? And she said, yeah, I plan on it. He said, well, do me a favor. Before you come, I want you to ask Jesus, what would he think, what would he like you to wear to church? She said, okay. You brought me an insulated cup? Wow, that's cool. I feel really special. So he said, ask Jesus, you know, what he would want you to wear to church. And so she said, okay. And she didn't, it didn't faze her. It didn't, you know, like she didn't offend her or anything. She walked out the door. And, you know, he thought, I did a pretty good job. The next week she comes in, dressed very similar. And, of course, everyone starts coming up to him and saying, you know, you've got to address this issue. She's not dressed appropriately or whatever. So he's just like, ugh, I thought I did so good. So he went up to her after church again, said, I'm so glad you came back and everything. That's the pastorly thing to do. He said, yeah, I'm so glad you came back. Did you talk to Jesus? Did you pray? And she said, yeah, I did, pastor. I asked him, Jesus, what would you have me wear to this church? And what Jesus told me was, I don't know. I've never been to that church before. Now, that's funny, but it's sad because, like I said, I've talked to so many people. When I say, you know, I know that Jesus is at our church. You know, I can feel the Spirit move, and I can feel, you know, or, you know, Brother Mike or someone will come up here, and, you know, and have a word. It may be in tongues. It may just be a word. And, you know, I say, you know, I know Jesus was in the place because he said, you know, he didn't even talk to Todd. And he confirmed the exact same thing that Todd said. I'll say things like that to people, and they'll be like, that's crazy. And I'll be like, no, that's how God worked. You know, he's with us. You know, that's why I tell you, he's everywhere we go. And we've got to believe that. And, you know, this is why I want to, like, I know you guys believe this. And I know the youth believe that. I know the kids believe that. I know all the teachers believe that Jesus is here with them. But this is the thing. This is what I'd ask you. And this is not, I didn't even open my eyes during worship. But tell me this. If you knew that Jesus was standing right beside you when you were singing, would you have sang a little bit louder? Or would you, maybe for some of you guys, I know some people don't sing at all. And that's fine. Like I try not to like get on to my kids too much. But I'm like, hey, you sing in church. I don't care if you sing good. I sing awful. I've told you guys that. That's why I sit on the front row. I don't sit behind anyone and torture anyone. But, you know, I'm always like, just sing. But so if you knew Jesus was right beside you, would you sing a little bit louder? Or would you sing at all? Would you, when you sing a song that says, I'll stand with my arms high and heart abandoned, would you do that a little bit further? And so I was standing over there today when we were singing, you know, when we were singing that song. And, you know, I just kept thinking, I just kept hearing God saying, you know, I'm watching you, Brian. I'm not watching anyone else. I'm watching you. And he might have been telling that to every one of you guys, but he was like, you know, this is between me and you. And so, like, I mean, I just try to focus just on him. I mean, like I said, I didn't even open my eyes. I try not to. Sometimes it's really exciting. Sometimes it's not. And, you know, but, you know, I just sat there and I was just like, he's like, just you and me, Brandon. What are you doing for me? And so, like, that's how I try to treat worship. And sometimes I know I don't do what I need to do. And sometimes I don't say the right things. I don't say the things I need to say. But I try to treat it like Jesus is right beside me wherever I go. Now, once again, do I mess up and say the wrong stupid things sometimes? Do I say things that I shouldn't say that are inappropriate or whatever? Yes, absolutely. But I know this is the thing. I know Jesus is right beside me. But I also know this, that he already knew I was going to say it before I said it, and he still chose to love me. And the same thing with you guys. I know some of you guys have not been in church your whole life, or maybe you haven't been very long at all. So you're still pretty green, and you still say a lot of things and do a lot of things that are wrong. And this is the thing. Jesus knew that, and he chose you anyway. He knew you're going to mess up. And he still loved you. He cares that much about you. He doesn't. He's already been there. He already knew what you're saying. He already forgave you. He's already taken care of that. So tonight what I want to talk about is prayer, and I want to talk about the prayer of faith. I don't want to just talk about plain prayer, but I want to talk about the prayer of faith. And to do that, obviously, we need to understand what faith is, and I think we could go around the room and we could probably get 100 different definitions tonight of what faith is. And they're all probably pretty close to the same thing and probably correct. But, you know, if you go to Hebrews 11:1, it tells us exactly the definition of faith. You know, and it tells us that it's the evidence of things what? Of hope for and things that what? Things we don't see. So we know what faith is. And we, once again, you can look at, there's, I don't know how many translations of the Bibles out there, and they're all a little bit different, but they all say the same thing. They all say that faith is evidence of what you hope for, and it's things you don't always see. And so this is what I figured out, and you guys have figured this out too, but so many times when we say a prayer to God or Jesus, whenever we pray, guess what? We don't always get an answer right away, right? I wish we did. You know, there's been so many times, well, I say that, maybe I don't, because I've prayed some bad prayers before, so I'm thankful maybe that we don't always get an answer right away. But the thing is, once again, when you pray, I'm picturing, once again, I'm thinking about Jesus being right beside me. He's going with me. He's right there with me. So when I'm praying, I'm talking to him, I'm having that conversation, and I'm believing in things I don't see. I'm believing that it's going to happen. I'm believing and I'm hoping that it's going to happen because that's what Jesus says. You know, this is what happens to me. A lot of times when I pray, maybe it happens to you, I get impatient. Now, Todd always says, you know, that the reason we get impatient is because we have a microwave mentality. We want things done then and now. I've graduated. I moved up to the air fryer mentality. So it takes a little bit longer. It takes a little bit longer, not as long as the oven, not as long as the smoker, but I'm getting a little bit better. I'm growing a little bit in my faith. My prayers went from a microwave like I want it now to, okay, I'm willing to wait a little bit. It's getting better. And so my goal is to get to the oven and then get to the smoker that takes, you know, whatever. But that's the thing, is we've got to mature in our faith. Like, we've got to understand that God's not going to answer every prayer right then. You know, the ones that he answers right then a lot of time are the word no. And a lot of times it's selfishness. You know, like, have you ever been at a stoplight and a pickup pulls up beside you and you're like, man, I'd love to have that pickup. God, can I have that pickup? You know, unless I've got the money, he's going to say no 100% of the time. Why? Because he doesn't want me to get in $100,000 worth of debt. That his plan for my life does not include $100,000 worth of debt. So he says no. There's other things that I wish he would say yes right away. You know, there's like when we pray for healing, we want that to happen. I'll talk about that more in a little bit. We want that to happen quickly. But so many times it doesn't come as quick as we want because we're impatient. And like I say, we have that microwave or maybe air fryer mentality where, you know, we want it and we want it pretty quick. Sometimes, you know, another reason that I think God doesn't answer prayers right away is this, is because once again, he has gone before us. He's already been there, so he sees in the future. He sees everything. He sees the whole picture. He sees in the future also. And so a lot of times he knows that's not going to be good for me or that's not going to be what I really want. And so, you know, he sees so much. He's already been there. He's already provided. He's already, you know, given me provision for what I need. He's like, I'm going to take care of that. So once again, it's not always what I want. So my prayer is that maybe my prayers will become more like his prayers. And so instead of what I want, and we'll talk about that a little bit, more about what I want, more about what he wants. So if you guys will turn with me, let's go to James. We're going to read chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. And we're really going to talk about basically three different kinds of prayers. And it's a really cool story. In the end, I love the last two verses. I think it's 17 and 18. We'll get to that later. But I love these verses. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Well, yeah. Suffering's universal. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if you're in Europe, Germany, that's Europe, whatever, you know, Antarctica, here, wherever, Mexico, Canada. Suffering is universal. Everyone suffers. You know, everyone goes through that. So is anyone among you suffering? Yeah, I'm sure. Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing praise. So this is kind of a personal prayer. Like if you're going through something, James is saying, hey, pray for yourself. Just pray. If you're suffering, pray. And once again, That doesn't mean we're going to get an answer as soon as we want. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But if you're going through something, it says, hey, you can pray for yourself. Once again, Jesus is our mediator between us and God. So let's pray, and you know, and let's get those prayers to the Father. We'll talk about some other prayers in a minute, but it's so important that you pray for yourself. I mean, yeah, you need to pray for your wife and your kids and, you know, your families and, you know, and your pastors and, you know, all this. Go down the list. But it's so important that we learn how to pray for ourselves and pray for it in a non-selfish manner. And that's the hardest thing, because when we're praying for ourselves, it's easy to say, oh, God, I'm hurting. Oh, I've got a headache. Oh, my foot's hurting. You know, once again, God sees the whole picture. So sometimes we pray. I mean, I've had prayers where I've had a headache and I prayed and it's gone away, like, quick. And I'm so thankful when it does, but I've also had prayers when they don't. And like, once again, I say, God, just help me understand. Like, I know you know that you see the whole picture. You see way more than I do. You know, I don't see, you know, how this is beneficial or whatever. But, you know, sometimes you do. You know, sometimes you see the, or you see the whole picture and I don't. So then let's see. Let's go to the next verse, 14. Let's go to 14 and 15. So this is kind of what Todd talked about. He said this a little while ago in the prayer. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So that's pretty powerful. So we say that a lot. Todd has said that a lot. I try to say that a lot. But it's always amazing to me how many people come and say, not asking for prayer, and just tell you, I'm going through this, I've got this, you know, I've got whatever, whatever, pick a disease, pick a ailment, whatever. And I'm just like, well, you know what, and I always try, I'm kind of a teacher. Like Todd, I taught special ed. I only did it for 5 years. It only took me 5 years to learn. But like Todd, so I learned, so I always say, well, do you know what the Bible says about if you're sick, what to do? And, you know, people a lot of times, some people know, some people say what, and I'll say, well, it says go before the elders of the church, let them anoint your head with oil, you know, and we go over this, you know, I tell them that verse. So I tell them, prompting them, hoping they're going to say, oh, will you pray for me? And a lot of people will just keep telling you, probably not the Wednesday nighters, but a lot of people will just keep saying, yeah, but, you know, I'm going through this, or what, like I said, pick your ailment, pick your disease, pick your sickness, whatever. And they'll say it, and I'll be like, well, do you want the elders to pray for you? Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, that would be great. And so, I try to spoon feed them, because this is why. I don't do it to be mean. I don't do it because we don't want to pray for them. But I want people to see the value in it. I want them to see what the Word of God says. I want them to know that's biblical. And every time we pray for that, we say, you know, this is what the verse says. And we tell them, you know, go before the elders of the church. We tell them the verse. Because we want people to learn, that way they understand. Now, I don't care if they go to our church or not. I don't mind praying for people. But, you know, a lot of people, like I've got some, I had a friend a few weeks ago that came and said, you know, they're going through something. I said, well, go to your church and, you know, ask the, get the elders to pray. We don't have elders. Well, do you have deacons? Yeah. Well, get them to pray for you. You know, get the pastor to pray for you. Get them, you know, well, we don't use oil to anoint. And I said, ask them. I mean, go take, present this verse. Present the verse. The worst they could say is no, right? And if they say no, get out of there. Leave. That's not the right choice. If they're not going to follow what the word says, then why are you going to church there? Anyway, they kind of looked at me once again like a deer in a headlights kind of thing, but I was just like, go and ask them. Say, hey, this is what James says. Will you do this for me? Because it's a promise. It's a command and it's a promise. It doesn't just say, hey, if you're feeling bad, if you got cancer, why don't you try the elders? Maybe they can help you. But that's how we treat it so many times. Hey, when we're going through something, well, maybe I should try this. Maybe I should try the elders. See, there's no power in just trying. The power is believing what the word says. And once again, that's faith. It takes a lot of faith to say, man, I'm going through some crap and I don't know how to get over it. Can you pray for me? Because this is what the word says. And I believe what the word says. I don't believe in myself, but I believe what the word says. You know, it takes a lot of faith to do that. And so I respect that. But I always try to teach people. I know Todd does too. That's what we do. We always try to kind of teach people. you know, this is what you need to do. If you're sick, go to the elders. And sometimes that some people are incapable of coming up here. Sometimes we make house calls. Sometimes we go to a hospital. Sometimes we, you know, sometimes we go different places. And that's fine. We don't mind that. But that's literally what our job is, to do that. And there's not, it's not just me and Todd. There's a couple other elders, Stanley and Royce, and they do it too. I mean, we've showed up all together in places. And sometimes I know Todd just showed up in places. Sometimes I've just shown up in places. Sometimes they, one of them just showed up in places. It's okay. But he gives you, here's your command. Hey, if you're sick among you, then go to the elders. Let them anoint your head with oil. And you know, and not only that, this is what I like about it. It doesn't just say, you know, that you're going to get better. I mean, I wish it did. I wish it just said you're going to be better instantly. It doesn't just say that, but it, you know, it's a, once again, it's a process. Now, it's like I hate and love this, and I love it. I'm starting to love it a lot more than I hate it. But so many times we, once again, people come and they say, okay, well, I'm going to go by that promise. I want you to do that. I want you to pray for us. You know, I want to get better. Well, what happens if those people die? Does that mean that God wasn't faithful? No, what does that mean? What is a better healing than to spend eternity with Jesus? There is not. Now, that's obviously, when we're praying, that's usually not what we're praying for. We're praying for a healing on earth. But there's no way that we're going to call those people back and say, oh, no, God, you said you're going to heal them. Bring them back. They would shoot you. But that's the thing is, once again, we have to switch our minds. You know, it goes back to, you know, Romans 12, too. We've got to switch our minds. We've got to transform our mind to God's way of thinking. We've got to quit thinking the way we think and think, oh, we've got to be healed here on earth. We've got to switch to God has a better way. I mean, is that not the ultimate to end up in heaven? That's our goal. I mean, it's really not even a goal. That's our promise. That's where we're going to end up anyway. So would that not be the ultimate thing, is to end up in heaven? And, you know, so many times, man, I'm just so encouraged when people, I'm just encouraged when people, like, accept that when they learn that. And it's, I really, like, I'm also really encouraged, like, whenever, like, they say, you know, quit praying for them and let me go. You know, I remember one time my grandmother, when she was really sick. I mean, no one wants to be, like, the death prayer person, right? No one wants to go in there and say, you know, God, please, like, release them and let them go to heaven. I mean, maybe you do. But that was hard when it was my grandma. My mom called me when, you know, my grandma was really sick, and she said, you know, no one, most of my mom's family, they're great people, but there's not a lot of Christians. I mean, my mom's a believer. My stepdad's a believer. There's not a lot of other Christians. She said, Brandon, when you come up here and pray for your grandma, you know, we're just we're tired of her suffering. She's been suffering. She hasn't, you know, been awake. And, like, that was a terrible drive. I had to drive to San Angelo and do that. It was a terrible drive. But on the way back, it was so much different because I knew my grandmother was a believer. So I knew that there was a greater promise than what she was stuck in that hospital. But I mean, she was 96 years old. She had lived a great life anyway. But the promise was so much greater than the minor sacrifice, the minor inconvenience of me having to say, God, will you please take her? I mean, and that's a hard prayer to do, especially if it's someone you love. But it was, you know, I was like, it was such a pivotal moment in my faith, realizing that, man, she's in such a much better place. And it's not, like, that's just something people say, you know. Even people are heathens, people say they're in a better place, which is a lie. But, you know, like for her, I knew she was a believer. I knew what she believed in. And, you know, and it's the same thing with you guys. Like, I would, you know, I love to do a funeral of a Christian. That's great. That's the best time. But, you know, it's funny, like whenever you do a funeral of someone that they either don't know or they're pretty sure they didn't go to heaven, you know, there's such a great witness there because all you do is share truth. It's not easy. But you just share truth. I mean, it's cooler when they live their whole life for God, and you can say, because of their example, you know, their kids and grandkids, and you can go on down the line and say, are going to go to heaven one day because they know the way. That's a cooler example. But it's just as cool. God can even work through those people that are lost or going to hell. They can work in the families. And sometimes those families have a greater wake-up than people that have been in church their whole life. So once again, I don't know. I just want to encourage you guys to pray, you know, like Jesus is with you because he is, but also just pray thinking, okay, I don't always know what's best. It's not my way, Lord, but it's your way. Also, you know, people come to us. This is another teaching moment. People come to the elders and they say, you know, I've got this or this. You know, a lot of times we try to, and this is something that I learned when I first got here. This is something the church, I mean, you guys know this. But, you know, we believe in the power of the tongue. We believe that there's life and death in that power, and please choose life. You know, that's what we say. So when people come over and say, hey, quit confessing that you've got your bipolar or your whatever. Name, there's a list. Once again, name an ailment. Quit confessing that. We're not asking you to lie. I mean, if you got a headache, don't come up here and say, I don't have a headache, but I need you to pray for my head because it hurts. Don't do that. That's not, we're not asking you to lie. We're just saying, watch what you're speaking. Because when you start, when you come there and say, I'm dying of cancer, you just open the door. It's a, you know, it's free reign. That's some bad seeds you just planted. And so once again, that's a teaching moment to remember that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so let's teach that. You know, for years, it almost became religious for me until once again, like God got a hold of me. But Cindy and Royce, Cindy Thomason, for years when I was doing the youth, her and Royce would sit out there with me. Oh, you're good. I thought maybe it was the word from God. I didn't know. I was just listening. But you know, we would sit up there, I'd do youth, and Cindy would say, Brandon, watch what you're confessing. You know, watch what you're, you know. And, you know, Todd has said it so many times, like, we don't need to confess or profess, like, bad things. Like, oh, you guys aren't listening and stuff like that. What are you confessing? Hey, you guys are getting everything I say. You know, the Spirit's really working. You guys are hearing it. You know, what are you confessing? And Cindy would do that every single time. She'd say, Brandon, quit saying these kids, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to do this. And, you know, quit professing, you know, that they're going to get hurt and they're going to end up, you know, all this. Quit doing all that and speak life over them. And like I said, it almost came religious because I would say something. I'd be like, oh, I better not say that. But then God made it really, once again, God made it so real to me. And he was just like, seriously, Brandon, quit doing it. I mean, really. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I mean, that's in Proverbs. That's Proverbs 18:21. I mean, I feel like it's a command. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. That's a good word. So speak life over it. Speak life over your situations. Even when you're praying, don't profess a lot of junk. You know what? Satan doesn't hear you praying because you're talking to God. But when you start confessing this and that, you know, you're opening up a door. Let's see. Let's go on to the verse 16, please. So this is the, so far we've talked about praying for ourselves, and we've talked about going to the elders. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so, to me, when I read this scripture, the first thing I start thinking about is all the opportunities we have to get together. You know, we had a work day on Saturday. I know a lot of people were able to make that, and that was a great time. And not only did we get a lot done, but we also just got to, you know, be around each other and kind of talk to each other and just, you know, I know me and Andrew were with Tony and you know, and some other people, and we just kind of talked. We were working, we were talking. We were just kind of, once again, it's kind of iron and sharpening iron type of thing. It's the same thing, the same reason I'm so thankful that we have men's and women's Bible studies. I'm thankful that James has done this chuck wagon because that's a fun time. Even if there's five people there or there's 50 people there, it's a great time of us just in there kind of, you know, bouncing things off of each other. You know, we're something else, you know, we're trying to get together. We're calling it Fishers of Men group. You know, just kind of a men's thing. Once again, it's just going to be us bouncing ideas off of other. It's going to be iron and sharpening iron. You know, the moms group that Sarah and Katie are doing, is such an amazing opportunity for mothers to go and just talk with each other and understand what's going on and what's, you know, and work things out and just talk them out. Same thing with the, you know, there's the, you know, the Worcester Warriors. There's so many opportunities for us to get involved in things that we can just confess to each other. We can talk. You know, we can go and say, man, my faith is weak. Will you pray for me? Or, you know, I did this, or, I don't know how to handle this situation. You know, I did this. I did a piece of stupid. You know, it's all communication is so important, but it's so important to have it with one another as well. Because once again, if I tell my brother, I say, I'm really struggling with something, guess what? It's not just me praying for myself, but then I've got one or maybe 10 or maybe 20, maybe 30 people praying for me. So how much more powerful is that than one person? I mean, even if you give me a megaphone, it'd be so much louder if there was 30 people praying for this for me. And so do that. It says, you know, go to each other, confess to each other, Talk to each other. Iron sharpens iron. Just, you know, bounce things off. It's not going to be perfect every time, but this is the thing. If we seek out godly advice, then we're going to make more godly decisions. We're going to start looking more like Jesus. I mean, and that's the goal. It's like, I want to surround myself with men and women that are going to make me feel more like Jesus. They're going to make me more like him. They're going to, you know, get rid of the bad things. When I have some bad fruit, they go and cut it off. It may hurt a little bit. They might say, hey, that was stupid, Brandon. You know, I've got some friends like that. I've got some friends probably that I'll get a call tomorrow and be like, that was stupid what you said. And, you know, they'll just, let's trim that off. Let's make it better. You know, it's kind of like I got these new peach trees at the house and there's all these little suckers. And I haven't touched them, and I had a friend stop by the house the other day, and he said, hey, you've got to get rid of all these suckers. They're just taking the life out of it. Get rid of them. And so some of us have little things that are taking the life out of us, and we can't see it. It's like we have a plank in our eye. So I need my brother to say, hey, Brandon, get rid of that sucker. It's taking the life out. It's sucking the life out of you. Get rid of it. That's not beneficial to you. How is that going to make you more like Jesus? You know, we need that from each other. And sometimes that hurts, guys. I'm sure it hurts those peach trees when you take those things off. I don't know if it does or not, but, you know, to me it does. If it's a person and you start pulling things off me, it's going to hurt. But that's the thing, is it hurts sometimes. But we've got to be, you know, we've talked so much in this house about not getting easily offended. And so, once again, if that offends you, maybe you need to talk to that person one-on-one and say, hey, brother, that or sister, whatever, that really offended me. And like a man or a woman, not like a little kid, and go and tell your friends how mean they are. Just go and approach them one-on-one and say, hey, that hurt me. And they can say, well, I did it for your own good or whatever. You know, maybe they didn't. Maybe they'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. But that's the thing, is we've got to rely on each other. No, you know, I can't do it all by myself. Todd can't do it all by himself. Donald can't do it all by himself. Matt can't do it all by himself. We've got to rely on each other. And once again, if you surround yourself with godly people, you're probably going to get godly answers. Now, if you surround yourself with heathens, yeah, you're going to get the heathen answer. You're going to get the answer that says, just drink another one, or leave her, she's not good enough for you, or leave him, he's not good enough for you, or, you know, I'd slice that tire if I were you, or whatever. You know, you're going to get those kind of answers. So surround yourself with people that are going to give you good, godly advice. And when they don't, call them on it. Say, dude, you're a Christian. Why would you tell me to go slice someone's tire? Well, what's up with that? Is that really your answer, or whatever? So, once again, we have to reflect. We got to kind of bounce things off of each other. And that's what James is saying. You know, spend some time with each other. Spend some time with some godly men and women. Spend some time around people that aren't afraid to offend you a little bit, aren't afraid to make you better. And so, I think we could easily, you know, sum up those things is, with this and saying, it doesn't matter what you're facing. If you're going through suffering, if you're going through sickness, you know, maybe even if you're happy, God says just pray and trust and believe what you pray and act like, once again, not act like, believe that Jesus is in there right there beside you. Believe that Jesus is in that room. Believe when you're saying Jesus, he's saying, what, Brandon? What do you have to say? Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening, son. I'm listening to you. Believe that. And it'll change. Once again, I'm telling you, if you really want your world to change, then when you're sitting there praying, take some time and let him answer you. And sometimes it's going to be, I mean, very few times in my life has it been, you know, audio. You know, like I've heard it. But most of the time I can just feel it. You know, and sometimes that's with goosebumps. Sometimes that's with just, you know, some kind of feeling. Sometimes you just don't feel anything. But that's what he's saying is, even if you don't feel it, I want you to trust me that I'm there right beside you. And so trust in Jesus. And trust that he's right beside you. If you're a child of God, he's there with you. You can't get away from him. Thank God. I'm so glad we can't. Okay, go over to verse. Is it 17 next? Okay, here we go. So this kind of switches. And so, like, to me, like, James is going through and he's telling us all about this, you know, to pray for yourself, get the elders to pray for you, and then, you know, to pray with others. And then he switches this story. And I really love this story. So it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he said, this is the reason he's telling us the story, because this dude is just like us. It says, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. So I'm going to say this. If there's anyone in here that's prideful that hasn't rained for 3.5 years, please quit. But no, that's what he said. But this is the reason why. This is the funny thing about Elijah. He shows up. Like, it really, there's not, it doesn't, the Bible doesn't tell us much about him when he just shows up. But there's a king named Ahab. He was a terrible king. He wasn't a good king at all. And Elijah pretty much just shows up out of nowhere. And because King Ahab was so bad, this is what Elijah prayed. He was a prophet, but that's what he prayed, for it to not rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't. It was dry. And it says, this is what I like, because, you know, God, I'm one of those people that like to hear little details. I've told you guys that before. But it says that not only did it not rain, but there wasn't even a dew for 3.5 years. So that's the kind of detail I like. I'm like, okay, there wasn't, not only did it rain, because we could probably say, man, it hasn't rained much here in 3.5 years, but it has rained a little bit. No, it didn't rain any there. Not even a dew. It was completely dry. You know, the lizards, their tongues were sticking to their mouth and stuff like that. But this is what he says. Whenever he did that, God provided for Elijah. Because see, Elijah, when he prayed, when he prayed that, it wasn't just for all the people, it was for him too. So God sent him to another place. So he sent him to a place that was around a brook, it was around some water. And not only did he, and because there was no water, obviously there was a famine, you couldn't grow any food, God had a raven, a bird, I think, a, you know, more like a buzzard for us, but he had a raven come and feed him. And at one point, you know, the brook dried up and he didn't have anything to eat. And so God told him to go over to, you know, to go to this other place. So he's going and he meets this widow. And I think this is a pretty cool story. I'm not going to go into a lot, but he meets this widow who has a son. And he sees her and he says, hey, I need a drink of water. This is the Brandon version. And she's like, okay, well, here's some water. And she just had a little bit of water. It wasn't a big insulated cup like mine. Just had a little bit of water and he drank it. And he said, yeah, I'm hungry too. Will you bring me some bread? And so this is where she was at. And maybe you guys know some people like this. And maybe you've been like this before too. And she told him, she said, all I've got is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was out here today gathering sticks so I could go and make the last loaf of bread before me and my son died. That's where she was at. She was bankrupt. She had nothing. But because the prophet from God told her that, you know what she did? She went and got him some bread. She made him some bread. She was down to her last bit, and she gave it to him. But you know what? When she went back home, she never ran out of flour. She didn't run out of flour, and she didn't run out of oil again. God took care of her. He provided for her because she was faithful. And so sometimes, church, we've got to listen. Well, we always need to listen to God, but we need to really listen sometimes when we think, you know, I'm in a pretty desperate situation. Like, I don't have $5 to give, or I don't have this. You know, I can't do this. I don't have any food. I can't help this person with food. I can't help them with their. Sometimes we really need to listen to God and say, hey, God, I'm going to trust you with my very last bit of this, and I'm going to give it because you told me to. And you know, and so I think, you know, God would say, hey, put me to the test. If I tell you to do it, I'm going to provide for you. But once again, if that lady would have given the last bit of bread and died, and her son would die, would that not have been, you know, if she knew God and she was obedient to God, would that not have been a better place than where she was at? You know, the Bible, it says it like this. It says, you know, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. Because if you're on earth doing what Christ wants you to do, if you're doing, you're following his plan for your life and you're doing, you know, you're being obedient, that's great. And that's what you're supposed to do. But whenever he calls you home, is it not way more better than anything you could ever do on earth? So once again, that's another instance of that. So then let's go on. Hey, if you guys will pull up. What verse is that? Oh, let's go to 1 Kings 18. And I'm going to read you a lot. I want you guys to stay with me. But this is I laugh at this story every time I read it. But it's 1 Kings 18, 17 through verse 40. And I want to read it to you guys. It says, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have in your father's house because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all of Israel to me at Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to them the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between the two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left as the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire to it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." So then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God," little g, "but put no fire to it." And they took the bull that was given to them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from the morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god." Once again, little g, either he is musing or he's relieving himself. So he's either musing or he's peeing. Maybe he's peeing. Maybe he's out taking a leak. Maybe that's why he's not answering you. I love it. I love God's sense of humor. It cracks me up. Or is he on a journey? Or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces. And he laid the wood. And then he said, "Fill four jars with water." And this isn't just little jars. You know, these are giant jars. "And pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are a God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones, and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there. So the same God that we just read about, the same God that was able to burn a bull on an offering that had gallons and gallons and gallons of water, so much so that even sucked up all the water out of the trenches, is the same God we serve today. That's the same God that stands beside us. That's the same God that's in this room today is the one that we just read about. See, that's the thing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did that for Elijah, would he not do that for us? I mean, and that's what I don't think, like, I know you guys don't and I know I don't, but we don't get excited about it enough. Like, I don't think we realize how powerful our God is and how much he's with us and how much he can do. That's the thing. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is be obedient. It's really simple. I mean, we don't make it simple, but it is simple. God makes it simple. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do what you need to do. You know, and even if that is mocking some people that are morons that are trying to worship a bunch of fake gods or whatever, I think it's hilarious, you know, all the things he did to mock them, but God was still faithful. And even though, like, I don't think God said, "Hey, why don't you say, hey, I bet your God's out there peeing." And I don't think he said, "Hey, say your God's out there sleeping." I think Elijah added that in. Even though that wasn't what he wanted, you know, I don't think what God would have said. I don't know, maybe he would have. But I don't think it was. Even though he did that, God was still faithful, and he did exactly what he told Elijah he would do. But that's the thing, guys, is that's the same God that's with us. It's the same one that's with us everywhere we go. So I want to tell you guys this. This is what I want to close with this. Once that happened, the rains came. But you know, this is why I'm amazed. We go to verse 18, that last verse in James, please, real quick. I want to read that to you. Or I think 5:18. Sorry, guys. Okay. It says, then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that it rained and it bore its fruit. But this is what I started thinking about. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain. So who was out there planting seeds in the desert? Who was crazy enough to do that? Probably the people. Do what? Yeah, the people who had faith, the people that listened, they were planting seeds. No one in their right mind would be planting seeds if we had a drought for three and a half years. I mean, I quit planting tomatoes because I can't grow tomatoes anymore. But these people, they faithfully went out there and planted seeds, even during the middle of the drought. And so when it rained, guess what? What kind of harvest did they get? The seeds that they planted. And so when we pray, once again, we pray expecting. We pray expectantly, knowing that God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. If he tells you he's going to take care of something, he's going to take care of it. Our faith is to do what he says. That's our only job, is to do what he said. If that means planting some seeds in the middle of a drought, then do it. There's a guy, and he used to go to church here a lot. His name was Chuck Troyer, and he said this, and I'll never forget it, but this was probably during our last kind of droughty few years. This is probably, I don't know, maybe 2015, 2016-ish. And Chuck said, he got up in front of the church and he said this, and he didn't talk much in front of the church, but this is what he said. He said, you know what God told me? He said, in the middle of the drought, God told me to do this. He said, to go out there to your stock tanks that are almost dry or are dry and dig them deeper. And he said, God, why in the world would I go out and dig a hole, a mud hole deeper that doesn't have any water now? And God said, that's because when it rains, it's going to fill those up and you're going to need that water. And so, you're going to need that water, maybe for other people, maybe for yourself, maybe for all the cows I'm going to give you because no one else has any water. But that's the thing. So what did Chuck do? He went out there, he got his dozer, and he cleaned out those tanks. And when it rained, it filled them up. And when everyone else didn't have water, a few months later when it wasn't raining again, guess who had water? Chuck did. But that's the kind of seeds that God's giving. He's telling you guys to go. He's telling us to plant some seeds. Now, Todd's been talking about it for the last few months that we're fixed to be in a harvest. And so if you haven't planted those seeds, go out there and plant them now. Do not wait till the harvest gets here because it's too late then. Go plant them now. Go plant them with your family. Go plant them, whatever you need to do. Ask God, what kind of seeds do I need to plant? Some of us need, we have to go plant seeds of restoration with other people. Some of us need to go plant, we talk about a hedge, like hedging our money. Some of us need to go plant those financial seeds. Some of, there's all sorts of different seeds, but ask God, God, what kind of seeds do I need to plant? What do I need to plant? And even though it might not look like a good time to plant, guess what? If God says it is, then it is. Listen and obey. That's the only way that we can do it. That's the only way that we can do it. We've got to walk by faith. The world looks crazy. I mean, there's crazy things going on right now. If you just look at your eyes all around, you're going to be like, this is stupid for me to do anything. I just need to hide under a rock or something. But that's not what God's telling us to do. I promise you, no one in here, God has told you to go hide under a rock. None of you guys, God has said, get away from everyone and stay away. No, he's saying plant the seeds. Get ready for the harvest. And if you have some bad seeds, if you planted bad seeds in the past, then go and dig those suckers up and throw them away. Get rid of them. Plant the good seed. So let's stand up and pray. I want to pray for a good harvest, but also just to pray that we can be more obedient. Jesus, I know that you're in this room. Thank you for being so good to us, Father God. Even the times that we don't do what we're supposed to do, God, just thank you for standing beside us. Thank you for not walking away. Thank you, God, for not leaving us. God, when our faith is low, when we didn't trust you, God, thank you for not saying I told you so and running away. God, I just thank you, Father, that you're always with us, God. And I just pray, God, that because you're always with us, God, that we pray a little bit different. That our prayers are a little bit more fervent, God, because we can trust.